Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. Hallelujah. We give glory to our God. What a day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in today. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for this opportunity, God, just to come into your presence, God, just to be with you, God, and to be with your people. For you said, how can we say we love you who we have not seen? And do not love our brother, which we see every day, God. So we give you the glory that, God, that you've placed men and women in our lives, God, that you've called alongside to walk with us, to grow with us, to cry with us, God. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for everyone attached that you've put alongside to help me grow, to help groom me, to help prune me, even as you, the Holy Spirit, continue to develop, God, in my life. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would move me out of the way, that you would give glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I was definitely trying. I was trying to get on Facebook Live, working through technology. I was told I was one of the most untechnically savvy persons that they know, but I'm not going to worry about that right now. We're not going to fumble with the things that we can't do, but what we will do is allow the Lord to use us in the things that he's prepared us for. So we thank God. We're excited about what's going on this evening. We're excited about what's going on in our lives, in our world. What a time to be a Christian, my God. If you're not excited about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray that you get excited because Christ is soon to return. My God, the signs of the times are everywhere. We're talking about diverse places, earthquakes, rumors of wars. We're talking about all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, God, pandemics, epidemics, all kinds of things happening in our society. But we're excited, hallelujah, because even in the midst of all that, God is still yet blessing. God is still yet turning us even in his favor. He's even opening doors for us in the name of, he's still doing things that only he can do, my God. Hallelujah. I know some of you are looking and wondering when we're going to get to the word. We're going to get to the word, but I'm excited about just being on this radio broadcast. Seemed like the enemy tried to stop the move forward to discourage, but we're encouraged in the Lord because we believe that God has already not just opened doors for us, but is continuing to open doors. When we think that something has been closed, God opens something else. So I'm excited about the word tonight. When we're looking at what God is doing in our lives, I believe that God allows the minister to be first partaker of the word that goes forth. So I thank God for this. In cases of emergency, break the glass. So what I thought about was in school, when I was a young kid, you know, and even in a lot of office buildings now, you know, they have sprinklers now. You don't have to do the things that you had to do back in the day. But there used to be a box that had a little hammer on the inside and had maybe an air horn, or it had a switch or something that you had to turn to ignite or to initiate the water sprinkler system or to call the alarm. But, you know, it was in case of emergency, break the glass. In case something happens, in case something goes out of the norm, break the glass. I want to read the scripture first because as I thought about the scripture, I thought about the alabaster box. You know, and as I read it out of Luke and also in Mark, I'm going to read those scriptures. But as I thought about the woman who broke the alabaster box on Jesus' feet, it says that she was crying at his feet and wiping his feet with her hair as she cried on his feet with her tears. But then it says that she broke the alabaster box. I wanted to know what the significance of that was. And when I looked up the significance in that time, some historians say that it was a signification of marriage, for when a groom proposed and betrothed to a woman, that alabaster box was broken in honor of her agreement to marry. So now I thought about that because they say some scholars say that this was Mary Magdalene. There's no real indication of who it was, but it does say that she was a sinner and that the people that were there, some of them was indignant, some of them didn't like it, because they tried to say that it was because it was more money. It was money that she could have got. See, they were thinking because she was a harlot, why would she waste this thing? She know that the master is not going to marry her. What is she trying to indicate by doing this? See, I'm running fast because my thoughts in my head are just going crazy right now. But as we're looking at what God is doing for us, it is significant for us to realize and to understand not to allow people to stop your brokenness. I have to say that again. It is important. It is of the utmost importance that you do not allow people to stifle your move toward God. See, we know about Zacchaeus. We know about Timotheus. We know about all of these men and women that were in the Bible, that when they went to seek after Christ, when they went to come after God, men tried to stop them. Disciples tried to stop them. Pharisees, Sadducees tried to stop them. Religious folks tried to stop them. The mob tries to stop them. What I'm trying to tell you is when you're coming after God, you can't let anything, you can't let anyone you, but there is a necessity of brokenness. There is a necessity of marriage. There is a necessity of kindred. There is a necessity of kindling. There is a necessity of you pouring out of your self. See, in olden days when men and women married, then women were what they were subjugated. Women were in reverence to their husbands, even to the extent where they're called their husband Lord. So when the indication of marriage is put in the Bible, when the indication of marriage is stated, it is stated that someone is the leader and someone is the one that's subject. Someone is the one that's lesser. Someone is the one that's weaker. Not that women are weaker than men, but the Bible says surrender them as the weaker vessel. Why? Weaker physically, that's all. Not weaker spiritually, not weaker financially, not definitely not weaker verbally, but we understand that there is a tenderness in the heart of the woman that a man, God, gives us to nurture. I want you to take a minute and look at that woman that God called you to, and if her countenance, if her outlook is not bright, you have to not look at her. You have to look mad at you. You have to look at yourself, because she is a reflection of you. She is a reflection of what you've created in her heart. It is our responsibility as men, as husbands, it is our responsibility as the husbandman, as the gardener, to make sure that our garden is trimmed. It makes sure that our garden is good, that it is watered, that it's groomed, that it's growing, that it's developing into what God purposed. When this woman came to Christ, she came to Christ broken. The Bible says in Psalms 51, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, I will not despise. Sacrifice of the Lord that we look for. What's the sacrifice? God's not looking for our offering. God's not looking for our tithes. Yeah, it's good to give unto the will and to the work of God, but God is not looking for things. God is not looking for your talent. God is not looking for our ability. God, the sacrifice that God is looking for, our broken spirit and a contrite heart. We want to be broken before the Lord. A lot of us are weeping. A lot of us are crying. A lot of us are broken, but we're allowing our brokenness to turn to regret. We're allowing to turn to bitterness. We're allowing our brokenness to turn to anger because we're looking for someone else to fulfill the need, for someone else to fulfill the void that only belongs to God, my God. It only belongs to God. It don't belong to no one else. This woman came to Christ because she realized she was nothing without him. She was a sinner. She needed his righteousness. The thing that really broke my mind and took me back for a while, it says in Mark that this was a feast, was a party called by Simon the leper, my goodness. And then Simon the leper called a party that Jesus came to. Have you ever been in a place where you were known by your sin, that you were known by your weakness, that you were known by your frailty, but still in the midst of that, Christ came. Still in the midst of your weakness, Christ showed up. Still in the middle of your habit, God still came to visit you. God still came to show up. God still came to do for you what he hasn't done for others. God still came. Hallelujah. In the midst of it, God still came to the house of Simon the leper. I was like, Simon the leper, because I know that lepers, you weren't supposed to be around these people. They weren't allowed to come in the congregation. So I read the reference where it came down in the book of Mark, and in the book of Mark, it called him Simon the Pharisee. So not only was he a teacher of the law, but he used to be, and is assumed, because it doesn't state here, it's assumed by historians, it's assumed by scholars that Christ had healed him. My God, I got to read this because this thing blew my mind. I had to read it in chapter 7 of the book of Luke. Luke 7, it says this, 36. Now one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wash, wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bitten him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Isn't it just like us? Isn't it just like us? Once Christ has blessed us, once Christ has delivered us from the things that used to bind us up, now we're known as preacher, now we're known as teacher, now we're known as psalmist, we're known as soloist, we're known as brother and sister, we're known as Christian, to be the very one to point the finger at someone else. My God, have mercy. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. God, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Because as we look for this man looked to even Christ to say, if he didn't, he realize this was the same Christ that healed him. He was the same God that raised him from his dilemma. Now that he has risen to a place of stature, that's some of our problem right there. We think because now, you know, people don't know that we used to use drugs. People don't know we used to drink and, you know, and do those things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. But now, you know, we wear our collars backwards. Now we drive a nice car. Now we can call and pray, and God shows up that all of a sudden, now we sit in the place and the seat of judgment, one toward another. But this woman, I want to tell you, we're in a place in our society where we have to recognize and realize that if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, where would we be? Do not allow, we can't afford to allow our brokenness to move us into hard-heartedness when God is trying to woo us to himself. I said that scripture at the beginning. How can we say we love God who we have not seen when we do not love our brother? We do not love our sister. We do not love our offender who we see every day. I want to tell you and challenge you right there. That's my first challenge of the night. That person who offends you, I'm not talking about the abuse. I'm not talking about someone who's physically hurting you, but someone who verbally, someone who emotionally, someone who just does things that are not, that just picks you the wrong way. Maybe it's a place for you to fall in brokenness. There's a place for you to fall in contriteness. There's a place for you to break the glass. Let me read the definition according to the International Bible Encyclopedia. A contrite heart is one in which the natural pride and self-sufficiency have been completely humbled by the consciousness of guilt. The Hebrew and the Greek words often translated from contrite actually mean crushed, crippled, or broken. So when a man or woman awakens to the depth of their own depravity, their own sin, their own lack of ability to do anything to help themselves out of it, and humbly accepts God's righteousness and God's gift, shifts no blame to no one else, carries themselves, and fully agrees with God, throwing themselves upon the mercy of God. My God, that's what God tells us, is someone who has contrite heart. God, I'm nothing without you. I'm destitute. This is definitely the position and the posture of this woman who came and broke the alabaster box, that without you, in honor of you, in honor of who you are, I recognize you, God. I recognize you to be my Savior. I recognize you to be my teacher. I recognize you to be my only help. And I need you. I'm pouring myself out broken before you. I'm realizing this. I'm realizing this, Pastor Chappie. I'm realizing this, Reverend Rob. I'm realizing this, that the more I think I know, the more I have to let go of myself. The more I think I can achieve, the more I have to go low. We're looking to grow, but we don't want to take low. Yeah, I know that rhymed, and I thought I was running DMC right there, but we're looking to grow. Everyone wants to be big, but God's saying, how small can you get? How much can you take down truly of yourself? How much are you willing to break that I may mold you? How much are you willing to allow me to break you that I may shape you? How much are you willing to pour out of yourself that I may pour in of who I am in you? Simon the leper, that was a Pharisee, forgot that he had been once purged of his sin. Bible tells us in the Corinthians, don't we know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither idolaters, neither abusers of themselves with mankind, neither effeminate, nor none of these people will be able to inherit the kingdom of God. But our favorite part is, and such were some of you, my God. Such were we, what God has done for us. Look how he kept us. Look how he delivered us. Look how he blessed us. Look how he raised us. Look how he has raised himself in us, even to the point where people say, you don't act the same, you don't talk the same, you don't look the same, you don't sound the same, you don't walk the same.
Let me read that 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We have to remember. I don't have to remember far back. I can remember the last thought I had. I can remember how God saved me from crack, how God saved me from cocaine, how God saved me from angel dust, how God saved me from just being crazy. My God, but I'm washed now. I'm sanctified. I'm justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of my God. This woman came to a place where she recognized her sin and depravity to be at critical mass. Yes. Romans says that our sin may become exceeding sinful. When will you get to the point where you know that sin is taking the very life from you? Not just your physical life, but that Zoe life, that godly life, where you should be at a certain point. You're not, because we continue to allow sin to dominate our lives when God is just looking for someone who will be rich in him. I know that's a contrast right there. Because we're looking for people to mount up. We're looking for someone to be strong. But God says, I need you tonight to be weak, to come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. I'm here to tell you that drug can't give it to you. That man can't give it to you. That woman can't give it to you. That girl, that boy, that car, that house, that money, that bling can't give it to you. Come, hallelujah, to the table. Come to the one who has all that you need. This woman, they say it was Mary Magdalene who was a harlot. The Bible in the book of Luke and in the book of Mark only calls her a sinner. It doesn't describe and it doesn't go into detail of who she is, but a lot of scholars say that this was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had the audacity to agree to a marriage when there was no proposal. This is one of the reasons why. It wasn't just the money that it was worth, but they said, what is she trying to say? What do she think she's worthy to come to the Lord and present herself like she's somebody good? Like, don't that sound like something you heard before? You'll never be good enough. You'll never be enough. You've done too much. Just stay in your lane. And God is saying, come on out of that. Come out of the limitations that man has put on you. Come out of the limitations that your consciousness has put on, and come to me for recognizing who I am. See, when you recognize who he is, God, my God, he takes the lid off of the limitations. He takes the lid off of what I can accomplish. He takes the lid off of what I thought I couldn't do. Now, because I believe him, there is no limit. There is no restriction. And he says, if I come, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I'm coming. People saying I'm not worthy, but I'm coming. People saying I'll never amount to it, but I'm coming. People say I can't do it, but I'm a keep coming, because he said, come. Come. Let him change you. Come, let him free you. Come, let him heal you. Come, let him deliver you. Keep coming. I don't care what you look like, what you smell like. I don't care what you did last night. Keep coming. Come broken. Come contrite. Come honestly. I don't care how loud you come, but come. I don't care how quiet you come, but come. And don't let nothing stop you. It's time now. It's a pandemic going on. They're talking about race wars. They're talking about killing people by the hundreds and the thousands. They're talking all kinds of things about an election. They're talking about civil war. There's other rumors of war. There's hurricanes. There's earthquakes in diverse places. It's an emergency. It's time for you to break the glass. It's time for you to step out of the norm. It's time for you to break the alabaster box. It's time for you to come out of what someone told you was the limit. Someone told you the direction, and go and follow after God with all your heart. For he said, you'll search for me and find me in that day that you search for me with your whole heart. They're turning a blind eye to Christ in the name of religion, saying that we all can go to God. We all can have access. And I want to tell you, I said it again a few weeks ago, yeah, we do have access. But this is why the scripture is put in, that those that came up another way will be accounted for as a thief and a robber, because there is only one way. And Jesus is that way. His name. Yes, God. His name is Emmanuel, God with us in case of emergency. How is your case? Do you look at yourself as depraved? This is what Simon the leper failed to do. He failed to recognize and remember that he was depraved before he met Jesus, that he was separated before he met Jesus, that he was isolated before he met Jesus, that he was ostracized before he met Jesus. But after meeting Jesus, he came into a position of prominence. He came into a position of acceptance, even to the extent that now he's set in a seat of judging others' actions. I want to tell you right there, you don't have time to judge others. I'm going to tell you, when you come to God, making sure you keep your face before his face is a full-time job. I tell you. Yes, the old songwriter said, nothing between my soul. It's a full-time job to keep my life in line. It's a full-time job to present myself to God. It's a full-time job to make sure I walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we're looking, yes, God, at this portion of scripture, this Pharisee said that bid him, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that touched him. My goodness. Because when we get to a place where we think we're so righteous that we look down on people that are what we call and consider beneath us, we look down on people who we think haven't, you know, like we have arrived yet. Haven't, you know, because, you know, we're so suchy much now that, you know, we don't chew or we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't hang with those that do. So it's people that we begin to ostracize like we were. It's people that we begin to separate ourselves from, like those that separated themselves from us when we were in that state. Isn't it funny how the victim now becomes the predator? Let me challenge you again, child of God. This is the second 15-minute challenge. Check your behavior. See who you, because I know that there's a doctrine about separating yourselves. Yes, and I know what fellowship has light with darkness, but I have to remind you, we are a body, and I'm going to get on this for just a few minutes. We are a body. What does that mean, Brother Aaron? That means the harmony of the body is that my hands, I'm not on live now, so I'm on the radio, so you can't see it. I'm joining each finger to finger as I'm holding my hands in front of me. I'm doing this on purpose, and in harmony, my fingers line up with each other. Why? What's the significance of that? And when I move them to the side, they just blend in just together, finger to finger, because these are both hands. So they fit because they are alike. But when I try to do it to my face, I end up poking myself in the eye. One finger goes in the ear. One finger goes, God forbid, up the nose. And you're wondering, why is this hand poking me? Because it's not meant to fit that way. It's meant to fit with other hands. So what we end up doing is we end up hanging with people that are just like us, where it says in 1 Corinthians, you know, the eye can't say because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. And this is the mentality. We got to be careful, saints. We got to be careful in this area because the enemy will use our differences as a point of conflict. Listen, our differences are not conflict. Our differences are just what they say, differences. The foot is different from the hand. The arm is different from the leg. The back is different from the chest. The neck is different from the waist, but they still move together as a body. We have to find where we proportionately fit and how we complement each other in our differences. How I support you in my weakness, how do you support me in my weakness? Because if not, we'll find ourselves biting and devouring, picking and choosing, being devoured and consumed one of another. This is one of another illustrations that's shown where this Pharisee, this leper, this man now became predator to someone who was coming after Jesus. My God, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. It's a song I heard on the radio, and it said, the guy said, the sign on the door says, come at you as you are. But he doesn't believe that that's what it really is. Why? Because as soon as we come the way we are, broken, dirty, smelling, we try in the church that were lepers, that needed cleansing. Now we want to cleanse people and not let the Holy Ghost do the work. There's another challenge right there. Hallelujah. Let them come. Let the harvest, let the angels, let the Spirit of God draw them in. Let the gospel bring them in, but let the Word of God cleanse. Challenge tonight is to love as they come. Our challenge tonight is to live holy as they come, because the best and the strongest character of the Holy Spirit, my God, it's not love. I know I'm going to get some controversy right there. But the strongest character of the Holy Spirit is not love. Matter of fact, the strongest character of the Holy Spirit is in his name, holy. Yes. Holy. The utmost character trait of the Holy Spirit is holiness. Holiness. As we move into the things of God, we find that there are levels of brokenness. When I finally came to the realization of how destitute and deprived I was and helpless I was to free myself, and I came broken to the Lord, he freed me. But as I continue to plunge in to that crimson flood, I find that there are not just many fillings, but there are many cleansings. Till I get to the point where I just got whatever it is rooted out of me. take it out of me. Stir it up in me. God, you get the glory out of this body that you may be glorified. Let the light of your countenance shine. Hide flesh behind the cross. Oh, I feel it. I feel them lifting, so I'm not going to keep pushing. But I want to tell you, 2020 was a crazy year. That goes without me having to explain or giving any deep revelation. Everybody, I can hear the echo saying through the airwaves, amen, 2020 has been a crazy year. But I want to tell you, it's been a great year. It's been a great year because we have people that are praying now more than ever before. We have some people praying that ain't never prayed. My God, and God is turning. God is turning things around, like that song, Turning Around for Me. Maybe you're one. You say, you know what? I heard about this Jesus. I heard him, but I heard so many other things. I heard so many other people saying different things about who Jesus really is. I want to tell you, he's the Savior of the world, and he's here tonight to bring you into his family. That's why I believe he's put me on this air, and he's put me on this radio broadcast to continue to call men and women to himself, to realize that he's a good, good father, that he's a wonderful Savior, that he's a wonderful counselor. And I don't want to sound churchy when I say it, but if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, I invite you to know him. This woman came crying so much that she wet his feet with tears. Have you ever cried so hard that the tear just flowed down your cheek, down your chin, down your shirt, saturated the area with your tears? It said it was so that she washed his feet with her tears and then dried them with her hair. Me, I'm hearing the song, The Alabaster Box by C.C. Winans. You don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of my praise. When I raise my hands in worship and thanksgiving to God, you don't know what it took me to get there. Listen, and I don't know what it took you. But I challenge you that whatever it is that's holding you back, that you allow the Spirit of God to break it now. That you allow the Holy Spirit to break back everything that's hindering your worship, everything that's hindering your praise, everything that's hindering your yes and yielding to him. Is it pride? Do you think you have too much to lose if you come wholehearted? Do you think that he will change your very character? Listen, I'm here to tell you, he won't just change your character, but he'll change your nature. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I hear my mother singing that. My mom loves the song, and I love to hear her sing it. Because as growing up, we grew up together. And seeing her and the struggles that she went through in her life and where she is now in God. My God, I can feel the tears coming up now. Just to know the praise of God that lies on the inside of someone who you've seen life has been redeemed by the Spirit of God. And I thank God that he saved me first. He could have saved her first, but I thank God that he had me to see it. And I thank God, and I want to worship with the angels as they rejoice over you tonight. Listen, I'm going to read again. St. Luke 7. And I'm going to start at 37 this time. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, we have a lot of labels that we put on each other. We call people by their habit, call people by their appearance, call people by their stature. The Bible calls this woman a sinner, but she knew that Jesus was in the house. What a tragedy to be in sin, to be in church, and not know that Jesus is near you, not know that Jesus is available to you, not know that Jesus is in the house. But when she found and knew that Jesus was in this Pharisee's house, the Bible says she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Yes. Because she knew Jesus was there, she came with the purpose of being broken, because this box was sealed. Yes, sir. She came on purpose for brokenness. Ah, yes, that's a good point right there. When we come, we have to come on purpose. It says, when I found out, when she knew that Jesus was there, she got her box. She got her box and went to the house. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. My God. God is calling you tonight to come at his feet. Bring your habit, bring your headaches, bring your heartaches, bring your brokenness, bring your bitterness, bring your regret. Bring it all to Jesus. And be honest with him. Say, God, I have all of this stuff. How can I come? But he said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. Listen. Simon can't give it to you. Pharisees can't give it to you. The disciples can't give it to you. Come to Jesus tonight and allow him to take your brokenness and fill it with the ointment of his spirit. As she poured out of her alabaster box, Christ poured in the oil and the wine, as she pulled out and emptied herself, that which was valuable, that which was could be sold for a lot of money. I know some of you won't come because you know coming, there's money you have to give up. There's things you have to lose. There's statue that has to change because Christ is calling you to a place of humility. I challenge you to come tonight. That's my challenge. Follow me, Christ says, and he'll make you fishers of men. God, I do thank you for this word. I thank you for each and every hearer. God, I pray, God, that that word that they heard, that it would be sealed in their spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the simplicity of the word, knowing, God, that the word in its simplicity has fallen on good ground, that it will bring forth fruit to your glory, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Won't you confess with me tonight the Lord Jesus? You say, Brother Aaron, I do want to accept Christ in my life as Lord and Savior. There's a simple prayer that we all go through, prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation, a prayer of forgiveness, that Christ would come into your heart and be Lord and Master of your life. Just because that's what he said he'll do. He said he'll do it. He said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I'm going to say a simple prayer. I'm going to pray and ask that you repeat after me, that you say it and mean it, and God will do exactly what you ask of him to do. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And wash me, cleansing blood. Save my soul from hell and destruction. And become Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, I do thank you for each and every man, woman that had repeated that prayer. God, I pray, God, that even as you have the seed of your word in them, God, that you would seal them till the day of redemption. You would, God, give them a token of your spirit, that you would refresh in them the desire for the sincere milk of the word, God, that they may grow thereby, God, that you would bless them and make them a blessing. God, even as you're strengthening them, I pray for their family, their loved ones, their spouses, their children, God, in the name of Jesus. God, that you would keep them, God, and that you would draw them up to yourself also. We rebuke the enemy off of their lives, out of their minds, and out of their circumstance, in the name of Jesus. I pray for your favor and your purpose now to be revealed in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. We want to bring in our engineer and our pastors, and we're going to bring in Reverend Rob and Pastor Toy, whoever's working on the board, for some announcements and some things that they're going to give you some information for those that are on the line, and then we'll come back briefly after that with the closing remarks and the benediction. God bless you. All right.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where you are in the world, we'd like to thank you, and we just wish you continue and share with your friends and family members here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request, or you can just let us know that you turn your life over to the Lord tonight. But we thank you, appreciate you for sharing some of your friends and family members that you've done so. We're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. Also on Facebook, we'll be like you to friend us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And we are thankful for you sharing with your friends and family members. Well, guys, we want God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And it is going to be The Dwelling Place, hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. Once again, well, guys, we want God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for The Dwelling Place, hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety at your convenience. And we are just grateful for those that share with their friends and family members. And we just thank you so much. And with that being said, you know, we know that, you know, for some of our callers, we have experiencing problems with our 319-527-6091. But let me just tell you, just hang in there and just, you know, keep your faith, because we do have options. And those options are, you can go to the Google Play or the Apple Store, where you can download one of the many apps where, you know, we can get around and use internet calling, which is Talkatone. You can download Talkatone free of charge, and they won't charge you for listening to here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where you can just listen to our shows in its entirety. Thank you so much, and we thank you for your support. And most of all, we thank you, Reverend Williams, for bringing us tonight's topic. We thank you so much. And with that being said, I'm going to turn the show back over to Reverend Williams. Before I do believe that his mom has called in. And so, Reverend Williams, I'll let you handle the rest of tonight's episode.
All right, well, bring Mom on in. Hey, Mom, what's going on, sweetie?
Son, hey, y'all, I love you, son, no matter what. I thank you for this topic tonight, because you were talking about a contrite heart. And I know that when I was in my addiction, I always kept fooling myself, kept saying, I'm tired. And your grandmother, my mother, God gave us so much wisdom. She kept saying to me, she said, you ain't tired enough. But once I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, I know God could change me. I know I was broken. I couldn't go no lower than what I was. And here I am now praising him and thanking him, because I'm so glad that was the best decision that I made in my life. The best decision that I made in my life. And then you talked about the Alabaster Box. You know I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. That song does something to me, because that song speaks to my heart. It speaks to me, because you don't know. You don't know the cause. Nobody knows the cause. I mean, I know you've seen me, and you seen me going through all the things I went through, because I took it with me. I took my children with me. But I thank God that God has redeemed me and restored me and even restored the relationship between us. You know what I mean? And we have a mother-son relationship. You know, I'm in love with you, and you're in love with me. You know what I mean?
Look,
I'm your number one girl, and I know that. And I know that you're married to your wife, but I'm your number one girl. You know what I mean? And this coming on this line today really even lifted me up even more. And then you talked about when people bring, God bring people out of situations, like I was in my addiction and I was in a couple of other things, messing with women and everything. And then sometimes I look at people, you know, guys and girls doing that, and I look and it used to disgust me. And the thing about it, I had to ask God to forgive me, because I forgot. You know what I mean? Look, people was looking at me the same way that I was looking at them, and I had to ask God just the other day, God, forgive me for my thoughts, because I don't have no business. I can't judge nobody, because I done did some things. I can't judge nobody. So I had to ask God, please forgive me. Please forgive me, because who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? I ain't nobody without you. I ain't nobody without you. You know. You know, and so, you just brought them subjects up. And the things. This is the same thing that I was going through when I was thinking about all this week. And God, I'm telling you, ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you if you do it with a sincere heart. Now, God knows I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like I said, I can't point my finger at nobody. Nobody. However lifestyle they live, that they live in their lifestyle. God changed me, and I know that if he changed me, I know he can change them. But that's if they want to be. You got to want to change. You got to want something different for yourself. You got to want to be better. If you don't want it, he ain't going to force himself on you. The thing about it, he's such a gentleman. He ain't going to force himself on you. He's just waiting. His arms is open. All you got to do is run into him. You know, so... I mean, that's all. I just want to say that. I just want to tell you that I love you no matter what. I love you so much from the bottom of my heart, the bottom of my heart. And I ask God, this is one of my things, I ask God to help me to show, share, and spread the love that he has given to me. that he has placed him in. Help me to show it and share it and spread it with other people, because if he didn't love me, I wouldn't be where I am. And so God loved me, so I got to love somebody else, and I got to act like Jesus towards other people. I can't point my finger at nobody, because when I'm pointing my finger at somebody, it's three and four fingers pointing right back at me. So I got to look in the mirror and look at myself.
Come on,
I got to look at myself, you know, so God can make me better, so I can help somebody. He can help me so I can help somebody else. So, I mean, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for allowing God to use you when you come on this radio of every other Tuesday. I can't get on every other Tuesday sometimes, but I'm so glad that I got on here tonight. And God bless you. God bless you, baby.
Let me kiss. That's
my mom, y'all. I'm telling you, she's preaching. My God, talking about so God can show more love. I'll be asking God to tune some of that love down. She be loving up.
Shut up, boy.
Oh, Jesus. But I thank God for my mom. Thank God for all of you. You know, when you're sincere, even as she said, when you're sincere, you know, I know that a lot of you are hurting right now. And you are sincere, but you have not found yet how to empty yourself. I want to challenge you to talk honestly to God. We'll find out and commune with your own heart tonight while you're laying on your bed. Well, I was upset with a friend of mine, and I don't want to go over time. And I was upset with a friend of mine, and I was talking to him by myself. Have you ever had an argument with someone and they're not there? Yeah, well, that was me. I was having an argument with him, and the argument opened up some things in my understanding. The understanding was that I was very, I say, for lack of a better word, trivial with relationships. And I didn't think I really had any real friends growing up. Yeah, we had people that we grew up with and grew up to know that we called and consider friends, but no real relationships, lasting relationships. And when I looked to find a friend, I didn't have one. And when I thought I found one, he wasn't. But what made me upset was that I saw how I looked to other people in him, and it made me cry. I'm crying because of a relationship. I thought about my brother and I's relationship. I thought about a lot of relationships because I hadn't valued people. I'm going to say this, and then I'm getting off the air. God put us here for each other, but it's not about what we can do. It's not about our status. It's not about our ability. It's not about maintaining the status quo, but it's about him and how he's going to get us there. And when we learn to surrender ourselves, surrender our ego, surrender our pride, surrender our machismo, surrender our poker food, surrender, hallelujah, our sexiness, yes. Surrender everything that we think we are, that God may show through us. That's my challenge for you for these next 2 weeks. Today is the 13th. DTW Ministries won't be back on the air until the 27th, again at 9 p.m. Hopefully by that time we'll have all of our technological issues taken care of. But until then, as Reverend Rob had reminded you, you can go on blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom and you can binge all of TW Ministries broadcast for the next 14 days. So we thank God for you. May heaven smile on you. And may the Spirit of the Lord grant unto you grace and peace.
Amen. Have a great night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.